AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Eric, I do have to start the show off with the important things, okay? I know you are with me once a week here on Thursdays. Nice to have you here with me today. Can you imagine being with me for 21 years?
No. I don't want to imagine.
The fact that Eric's eyes just got wider than dish plates. Oh, my God, no. Oh, God, no. No, Matt, no. Well, thanks to my wife, 21 years today. Happy anniversary. Love you.
And congratulations.
Yeah, that is, she is a masochist.
She
that
must be a saint.
She a saint. I'm going to say drugged, but either way, thanks. And so happy anniversary to you. We have been doing Democrat of the Day here. And you know, Eric, we have done a magnificent job. We've touched a lot of the Southwest Minnesota districts already. I've been very happy. Last time we did this, we had a lot of trouble getting some of the outstate people on. So far, Southwest Minnesota is representing. And today's Democrat of the Day is Tom Wyatt Yerka. He's for 16A. He is the endorsed candidate from the DFL, and he's kind enough to join us today to talk about his campaign. Hey, Tom.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for having me on, and happy anniversary.
Thank you very much, sir. It's very, that's, I can't believe a woman would want to be near me that long, but still, you know, it's like I said. Congratulations on the nomination.
Thank you.
I have to tell you, I started off by saying I've talked to a lot of people in southwestern Minnesota. There definitely feels like there's a vibe down in that part of the state where the Democrats really feel as if, you know what, this might be a year to pick up a few of these seats.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. We're seeing energy that we haven't seen in a couple decades around here, especially our college population, as well as some new folks coming out of the woodwork and getting involved with their local parties. It's been really great to see.
So who exactly is Tom Wyatt Yerka?
Yeah, well, it's a great question to start off on. Until recently, I was a student. I just graduated from the University of Minnesota in December, and I graduated from Marshall High School in 2014. I'm a Marshall native. My family moved here 16 years ago. My parents are both from L.A., so it's a little bit of a shock to them, but we fell in love with the community. We came here in search of a better life for my family, and we found it with the great schools, the wonderful people, and we found it as small business owners in downtown Marshall, where we owned a coffee house for 10 and a half years. And I couldn't really imagine running or starting my life off anyplace else. I decided to run because in 2016, I was the campaign manager for the previous candidate to run for the DFL candidate. And although we lost, I thought we brought up a lot of good points. And after returning home from college, I felt that a lot of the things that had made our community great, you know, the wonderful schools, the investment in our public institutions and public education, were no longer there. And our community was suffering because of it. And I want this place to be around for a long time for everyone. And so that's why I decided to jump in the race.
A story we've heard multiple times is basically that the promises made by the Republicans that have been representing these districts, they've not come to fruition, and they're not there they're just not doing what they said they were going to. We should mention 16A. You mentioned Marshall, kind of runs up to Montevideo, correct?
Just south of Montevideo, actually.
Right.
We go up to Madison and Dawson, and then cuts off right after Lac Pearl County.
Go ahead.
I was going to say also to the west, we're out to Mineota and Canby out to the south. Quite a big district.
You talk about your parents. They came from L.A. They went and opened a coffee house in Marshall, which is a great story in itself. Talk about rural economic development a little bit here, because, I mean, that I think gives you, from your personal experience, a real insight into, you know, some of the things that make development in rural communities difficult, some things that make it easy. What do you want to bring to the table in 16A as far as rural economic development?
Mm-hmm. Well, definitely talking to many employers around the district, one of the most difficult things that they face is workforce attraction, retention, and training. When we're looking at attracting businesses today, it's not just having to factor in how much is it going to cost me for land, how much is it going to cost me to do business in this area, but if I do decide to open up operations in a place like Marshall or Lind or Canby, am I going to be able to staff up? Am I going to be able to grow? And that's really an issue that we've seen across most of greater Minnesota, is the difficulty to attract skilled labor. I mean, speaking from the perspective of just having graduated college and moving back home, it's a kind of a difficult decision. And a lot of my friends, you know, said, why are you moving back to a small town? And I did it because I love the community. And it's a little bit difficult when you're looking at things like broadband internet access. Plenty of people my age have told me, you know, I'd love to take over the family farm. I'd love to move back onto it, but I need a second income. I need health care, and I need to be able to commute over the internet. I need to be able to have high-speed broadband access, and they're not able to do that, especially in rural areas and on farms. So I think there are a number of challenges with broadband and workforce development and attraction being two of the highest.
You know, it's interesting you bring up broadband, and when we've talked to the Southwest Metro, this is a common problem. And, it is funny. Republicans only talk about broadband when it's two times. One, when they're telling Democrats they're not going to do it in outstate Minnesota, when they're talking about making these bills. And then after, like, the bonding bill fails, acting as if, oh, we were about to give broadband to everyone when they weren't. The reality is the Republicans have the same party that campaigned on this for like three different elections that they were going to bring it out there. They have had the opportunity to do so, and they have just chosen not to because they'd rather give wealthy people tax cuts as opposed to help out their constituents in southwestern Minnesota. This is a priority. I mean, as you just touched on, it's rural economic development, but education, health care, quality of life. These are things that we need to have everywhere in Minnesota.
Exactly, and I think it contributes to the larger feeling of folks in rural communities that we're, you know, left behind. That we're left behind by technology, by our government, and it's frustrating. And a lot of that frustration and energy was, you know, expressed in the last election. But people are smart. They don't have that much of a tolerance for these politicians coming in and feeding them lies anymore. So I'm hopeful for the future here.
Once again, our Democrat of the day today is Tom Wyatt Yerka. He's running in 16A, and he's kind enough to join us today. Tom, let's talk a little bit about education. You made me aware of an interesting problem here. The Republicans have screamed about how they have to nullify the teachers' union in the state because they can't find teachers that want to go, you know, work out in rural Minnesota. You talk about Lind, which is in your district here, and apparently the teachers there are the lowest paid teachers in the state. And not only that, is this true? They get paid less than they get paid in Mississippi?
Yes, that is true. In fact, the highest pay for teachers in the Lynn School District is lower than the lowest pay for teachers in Mississippi.
I can say this for a fact. My parents lived in Mississippi for a little bit in Greenwood. That's insane because the state of Mississippi has turned its back completely on the public education system. So to find out that there's a school district in Minnesota that's treating the teachers with such disrespect with their pay is unbelievable. Well, how did this happen in Lynn? Do you know?
Well, it's really a funding crisis for these smaller communities. To get a little bit technical, Lynn's entered into an agreement a number of years ago with a couple of other school districts in southwest Minnesota to form an education cooperative, Southwest Minnesota Education Cooperative. And those school districts have had the opportunity to remain in the agreement, to leave that agreement. And recently, one of the largest districts in that agreement left, throwing the other schools for a loop. Now they've had to come up with nearly 150% increase in their contribution to that cooperative, while at the same time, the superintendent is about to receive a 15% pay raise to nearly over $130,000 a year. So it seems like to me, from speaking with many parents of students there, Lind residents, that's one of the major issues is administrative costs, and that the school board and the people elected to make decisions regarding the budget haven't been listening to parents. And they haven't been listening to the teachers. In addition, those teachers haven't had a contract in over a year, or nearly a year. This June, it'll be a year. And they've come into work every single day, done their job, and they've done it well. And they've done it all well without dragging the students into it. And so we're really punishing the wrong people for this budget shortfall here. The other issue would be what happened when we're in the Pawlenty years, which I hope we don't go back to, was the changing the funding model of education from income-based to property tax-based. And even people who are saying they have higher incomes are saying, it's ridiculous to tax it on property. I make more than my neighbor who's a farmer, and they're paying more than I am to send their kids to school when I can afford it. And so people want to change back to the income-based model for funding education.
Well, and that was Pawlenty. I mean, every idea he had was basically shoveling money into wealthy people's pockets. But it seems like what you described, and Lynn, there really is a twofold problem. First of all, clearly there's a local issue here where, you know, there's something that you've seen in other parts of the state, other parts of the country as well, we're going to punish the teachers because, especially in conservative areas, because we perceive them to be some kind of liberal outpost, and so henceforth we're not going to give them the pay, the supplies, the support that the school districts need. But yet then the same school district says, why can't we hire any teachers? I don't know. When was the last time you heard any Republican praise a teacher? I can't remember the last time that happened. The other issue, though, is a state issue, and this is why I think we need to get you into from 16A, because this is something I completely agree with. We have got a real big problem statewide in regards to how we fund our schools, especially outstate schools. And if we do not basically take the mandates that are forced upon these school districts for funding and figure out a way for equity on a statewide level to where a district like Lind is not, you know, crippled by, you know, trying to keep up with that, that we are going to end up having a far larger problem and a far larger gap in quality of education statewide.
Mm-hmm. And this feeds directly back into what we were talking about earlier, economic development for our entire region. If you're making the decision to start your family in the Minnesota, are you going to choose a place where you can access affordable public education that's quality and a quality building with teachers that will be there year to year? Or are you going to choose a community where the very existence of your school is in question? I think the choice is obvious to Minnesotans, and that's why we're losing out in our population here in Southwest Minnesota.
You know, I hope you don't mind me asking this, because I didn't get your thoughts on this, because mm-hmm. I was talking to someone down in Iowa about this, because obviously that's another big problem they have in Iowa. The kids turn 18 years old, they walk away, and they never return to the hometown. And that's a real big problem. A lot of towns are dying across Iowa. And they came out and they said exactly what you said. Well, you know, and especially in this day and age when the internet is so big and you can game and Netflix and all these things, the quality of life, the little extras that, you know, you can have in these small towns that basically, you know, are universal. The quality of education, the quality of healthcare, the business opportunities. You are a bit of an anomaly in the fact that you graduate college and you go back to the small town. But what you've done is you seem to have figured that out. You, independently of the study I read out of Iowa, that if we can bring this quality of life, just a simple thing with broadband, then the exodus of 18-year-olds out of these small towns is going to curb back dramatically. Would you agree with that?
I definitely would, because I think some of the narrative has been a little one-sided in that young people aren't being asked these same questions. They're not moving away from their small towns because they absolutely don't want to live there anymore. It pains them to move away because there are things that they love about their community and that they'll miss, but they're moving because of an economic decision.
And it is. I mean, I've worked in small town Iowa. I've spent a lot of time in rural Minnesota. There are these towns, if they don't have the jobs there, it's a hard sell to get someone to move back there if there's not jobs and a quality of life back there for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you are fantastic. And how old are you? If you don't mind me asking, as a 49-year-old man who feels very, very incompetent right now, how old are you?
I'm 22.
Wow. Amazing. Yeah, you just pantsed me. Tom White-Yerka is for 16A. This is the kind of new leadership we need in this state. Absolutely. This is the kind of representative we need in St. Paul. And here comes my plea. People, I understand it is important for you to support your local Democrat. Please do. Help them get elected. But this summer, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pick six Democrats around the state. Actually, I said five. I said, because I was looking at 16. Five Democrats. Five Democrats across the state who are currently running in districts held by Republicans, like Tom White-Yerka in 16A. I want you to find some way you can help them out, whether that's a donation, whether that's going out and visiting beautiful 16A, doing some door knocking, making some phone calls. If you can help Tom White-Yerka for state rep in 16A, that would be great. What is the website there, Tom?
It's Wyatt Yerka. So WYATTYERKA, and the number 4, SWMN.com. So that's Wyatt Yerka, the number 4, SWMN.com.
Wyatt, WYATT, Yerka, YERKA, the number 4, SWMN.com. I'll link to that on the Twitter, on the Facebook a little bit later on, and we'll also make sure we put the interview up there for everyone. Tom, congratulations on running. By God, I want to see you win, because I think you clearly are someone we need to get into St. Paul for sure.
Well, thank you so much for having me on, Matt.
Tom Wyatt Yerka is Democrat of the Day for 16A. Kind enough to join us today. We'll take a break and come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, I'm Damian Strange, Executive Director of Northeast Minneapolis Arts Association, NEMA, and I'm personally inviting you to Arterworld May 18th through the 20th. View artwork of over 650 artists in every medium at more than 50 locations throughout Northeast Minneapolis, including studio buildings, art galleries, homes, storefronts, and local businesses. The Artist Open Studio Tour may include demonstrations, mini workshops, installations, and special exhibitions. Studio tours offer a great opportunity to ask questions, discuss techniques, experience art firsthand, and purchase unique artwork directly from artists. Arterworld gives you a unique opportunity to meet the artists who make our community so vibrant and invest in our art community by purchasing artwork that you connect with. For more information, go to NEMAA.org. That's NEMA.org. Looking forward to seeing you at Arterworld.
Tom Hartman here, letting you know how you can save money with All Energy Solar. One of the myths about solar is that it's too expensive and you need lots of money down. The truth? Solar is available for little or no money down. And if you have a great site for solar, you might even save money right away on a monthly basis. So don't wait to switch. You'll see your investment pay off the sooner you switch to All Energy Solar. So start saving today and visit allenergysolar.com.
Kevin Ross here, inviting you to our brand new store called Ambibulous. What does Ambibulous mean? It means one who enjoys alcoholic beverages of all sorts. Ambibulous is a Minnesota maker's market. Unlike traditional liquor stores, we feature only craft beer, wine, and spirits made here in Minnesota. We are ready to guide your selections, where you can build your own 4 or 6 packs. Find us at 949 Hennepin Avenue East in Northeast Minneapolis or online at ambibulousmn.com.
Hi, Richard for Auto Technical. Since 93, I've picked up the donated vehicles, and the question I'm asked most often is, how do you pay the bills if you give away cars? Well, we have a fundraiser on Friday and Saturday. Vehicles priced from $1,500 to $4,000. Reconditioned and ready to test drive. Help support our mission. You will be impressed by the quality vehicles. A good bet is Auto Tech. AutoTech.org.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Tom Wyatt Yerka. Wow. That's an impressive young man right there. And how cool is that? I mean, he is truly the counterculture. I mean, and if you've ever spent any time in rural Minnesota, rural America, you go into these towns and the population is 50 and older, 55 and older, or 18 and younger. It really is. I mean, the majority of people walk out of high school, leave town, and never come back. And it's a real problem. I mean, I will never forget the years I spent in rural Iowa working in radio down there. And to go through some of these towns where at one point it was a vibrant little main street, 10, 15 little businesses, few major larger businesses, a co-op, of course, in town that, was the center of activity and center of business and culture within the community. Maybe a courthouse in the downtown, depending on where they were, the county courthouse. I mean, these were vibrant little communities. And now these communities, you go in there and there's, in many of the communities, the co-op is even gone. They've consolidated the co-ops down. And there might be a restaurant. There might be a post office. And there is a tremendous amount of empty business space. And every once in a while, some
one comes up with an idea of renovating some of these buildings and opening them up to see if they can rent them out to someone, and they get a brand new look and they look nice and no one moves into town. If you don't, if Republicans do not start taking the rural broadband issue they claim to champion seriously, then you're just going to run your voters out of town. And you can try to redraw the maps all you like. You're not going to be able to have a district with 12 people in it and a district with 500,000 people in it. You just can't have that. And so the more people that leave your town and go into these metro areas is less voters in that district. And that means larger districts. It means larger communities. And reminder, the time when you start getting around larger populations, Republicans start freaking out. Because, well, you get into larger communities and you realize what an absolute joke Republican policies are. 952-946-6205. So if you want to keep people in rural Minnesota, broadband, quality education. And can I just say, once again, my plea to Republicans. Can one of you guys are just massive hypocrites. And it's really disturbing. I talked about the fact that you guys are fraud. You know, I see you out there hammering with your fist and your forehead down on the podium trying to say, we're going to stop fraud. Okay, what about the guy who walked into your chamber and proudly admitted he took 19 months of taxpayer-funded food stamps even though he was a millionaire? How come that guy isn't getting prosecuted for fraud? Or at least investigated, or at least a committee hearing? Why not? You're hypocrites. That's why, because he's a white, wealthy guy. Versus the story that really gets you going is something you can go back and say, I'm going to go get the black people. Ah! So you have that. Here's another thing. How many times have you Republicans in rural districts saying, we have to completely gut the power of the teachers union because we can't get people out here to teach? Well, look at this situation that we talked about with Tom. You're not paying them? You don't have a contract? They're getting paid worse than the worst state in the nation when it comes to education. And you're wondering why people don't want to come out and teach in your school district? Come on. You really can't be that dumb, can you? Pay the teachers a decent salary. Then you'll get trust me, I know a lot of teachers who would love to go out in rural Minnesota and go and teach. They would love that opportunity, but they can't do it because the quality of life in that town, even though it's cheaper than it is in the city, you still don't get paid nearly as much as a teacher. That's a big issue. You Republicans, you're massive hypocrites when it comes to your issues. You could solve a lot of these problems yourself, you just because you're so betrothed into giving millionaires and billionaires tax cuts as opposed to anything else, you're not going to do anything. 952-946-6205. Let's take Jim in St. Paul here really quick. Let's bring him on in. Hey, Jim.
Hello there, Matt. I just want to say that I feel that the state legislature again this year, under the wonderful control of that idiot from Crown,
K-Dog,
yes, is going to complete nothing, absolutely accomplish nothing. They're doing nothing but costing us money. Everything that they postpone is going to cost us more because it still has to be done. I do not understand why the Republicans in this state or across the country elect these buffoons that do not govern, hate government, don't know how to govern, and are the complete jackasses that they all are.
Jim, if I can step in, they don't hate government. They love government. They love manipulating government to their own needs, and that's the difference. And thanks, Jim. I appreciate the phone call. The Republicans, we're going to talk extensively in the next half hour about Governor Dayton vetoing the tax bill and the Senate killing off the bonding bill. But one of the things that should be mentioned is both of these cases are the same thing. It's Republicans who interpret the concept of the government as the government exists for us and us alone, and that Governor Dayton, if he doesn't sign everything we send to him with no input whatsoever, he is somehow failed in his job. That's not how government works, guys. You have to work with the other side. And on a bonding bill where you need to have Democratic votes, it's insanely stupid that you never really reached out across the aisle and said, what do you need to make this bill pass? These bills, my argument is going to be that I don't think the Republicans want any of this passed, because this is what they're going to run on. It's like, Governor Dayton and the Democrats stop taxes. Governor Dayton and the Democrats stop the bonding bill. Now, you guys were never interested in negotiating the things anyway. Oh, and by the way, speaking of rural Minnesota, good luck. Russia now has got 3 times as much soybean orders from China as they did before. And Trump today said basically talks with China on trade are off. So good luck with your soybean crops, because thanks to Republicans, they're worthless. But you keep voting for these clowns who are not delivering anything. They're going to go on out there and try to sell this as we're still better than them. And the reality is we've had 2 years by the time we get to the election of complete Republican control, and they have failed spectacularly. Alan, hold on. We'll get your call after the break here. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. When we do come on back, bonding bill, tax bill, I'll talk about those as well. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hello, AM 950 listeners. I am Tabitha Montgomery, Executive Director of Powderhorn Park Neighborhood Association, taking a moment to extend a very warm invitation to our first annual Powderhorn Shark Tank competition, where our stellar panel of jurors have already selected several dozen amazing ideas from local makers, hustlers, and entrepreneurs from across Minneapolis. So mark your calendars for Saturday, May 19th between 2:30 p.m. and 6 p.m. at Powderhorn Park Recreation Center, where you can join the fun and cast your vote for your favorite ideas across our expanding, emerging, and startup categories. You can also plan to enjoy the Shark Tank Marketplace, which will be stocked with many local businesses, and also connect with a dozen or so business resources in our speed coaching zone if you're also working on your own big idea. See you on Saturday, May 19th.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. My first Toyota love was the RAV4 back in 1998. When I was traveling in February, I needed a rental car, and I jumped at the opportunity to drive one again. The RAV4 is fantastic with all the bells and whistles you need, and it has all the modern safety features to keep us safe, comfort as we vacationed. It fit all 5 of us and our luggage with ease. I was able to revisit my first love. Now, you can fall in love for yourself by test driving a RAV4 today at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169.
Hi, friends. I've been talking to you about Minnesota's first green cemetery, Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens. It's an entirely new way of looking at our last earthly step. Burials are designed to have as little impact on the environment as possible. For many of us, a continuation of the commitment we made during our lifetime. Let me suggest you go to the website, mngreengraves.com. Explore what it is. Prairie Oaks Memorial Eco Gardens. It's a lovely place, a peaceful place. Minnesota's first green cemetery.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today has a 30% chance of rain with a high near 83. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 59. Friday, sunny with a high near 81. Friday night, partly cloudy with a low around 60. Saturday, a chance of rain with a high near 76.
The Nicollet Island Inn restaurant has been open for 36 years, serving breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily for business, friends, or family. Ample parking on the only island on the Mississippi where you can dine and stay. Nicollet Island Inn, an historic hotel, restaurant, and bar on the island.
A very cool place, by the way. A very, very cool place. And you know what the best part of that island is? No massive volcanoes. Dear God. Did it blow off the entire top of that one mountain on the big island right now?
I'm not sure. It sounds crazy, though.
Oh, my God. I get the bad feeling this volcano is going to go for a while, and it's going to get a lot worse. When you start seeing like cracks in the earth forming down the sides, yikes. Ugh. Alan is in Mendota Heights. Let's get Alan's call in here really quick. Welcome on in, Alan.
You talked about the guy embezzling all the tax money by cheating in welfare?
Yeah, taking the
food stamps. He probably wrote off He probably wrote off his deduction, so he embezzled twice.
Well, you know, that's actually a good point. You see, Alan, but Alan brings up a good point. Thanks, Alan. I appreciate the phone call. Alan brings up a very good point. We don't know. What are the questions we have? First of all, once again, this guy says he took 19 months worth of food assistance illegally because he's wealthy to prove a point. And no one has explained to me how that one after the first month. He could have just gotten the first check, walked down to the newspaper, said, "See, I got this, I got a problem." He didn't do that. He took 19 months worth of food aid, which no one seems to be batting an eye at. But as well, it's against the law to fill out that paperwork fraudulently. This guy says, "Well, we're wealthy, but we have no income." Well, that doesn't make any sense, because if you have to take annual deductions from your retirement funds, if your income there, that's actually income. That's labeled as income. So if you didn't label that, meaning you have to have money coming in from somewhere, right? So where is the money that you're currently living on to pay your cable bill or your gas bill or whatever? Where is that coming from? That's got to be coming in as income somehow. So we could look at his forms and then his financials and see if he was lying when he applied for the taxpayer food stamps. We could go on out there and, he's promised that he gave that money to equitable charities, the equitable amount. Well, okay, once again, if you had the money to give to equitable charities, how did you not have the money to qualify for this, food aid? How did that happen? How did you have this extra money around, but yet you still qualified? That's a big question. But as well, I mean, if you gave money, what did you give money to? If it was the money that you took was money designated for all Minnesotans to get food. If you gave it to a church food bank, or if you gave it to a church period, well, if I'm not a member of that church, do I get to benefit? No. If you gave it to a regional food bank, which are great institutions, you helped out a region, but did you help out the state? No. It's a misnomer that you gave it to a same situation. You didn't. You took money designated for everyone, and there is virtually no way in the world you probably could have given that money back. Maybe Second Harvest Heartland, something like that. But that's about it. So let's see your receipts on the money you gave up. And then, of course, the taxes, as as Alan just pointed out. Did you claim this on your taxes? You Republicans get so upset anytime there's an African-American, a Somali-American, any kind of minority protest, anytime there's a minority outrage, anytime there's any fraud that's associated with minorities, it's bah! But white guy walks into the House of Representatives, says, "I took money illegally from the taxpayers. Look at me. I illegally took money. Woohoo! Hee ha ha." And not one of you guys wants to investigate him? If the Democrats take over the House, day freaking one. I want to see your financials. I want to see his form. I want to see if he was lying when he took this money. And if he was, we are going to prosecute him to the utmost extent.
You're just going after us because we're white.
No, we're going after you because you're idiots. And you stole taxpayer money. Like I say, I mean, you want to go after fraud. If it's legit, it's legit. But my God, as opposed to the A to B to C to D to E to F to G to H to I to J kind of, line that you're having to go to crack down on fraud usually, this isn't even an A to a B. The B walked over to A, sat down in A. It's just an A. And you're doing nothing. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Governor Mark Dayton on Thursday morning vetoed the tax measure that included income tax rate cuts, taking down one of the major bills of the legislative session and setting up a standoff with Republican lawmakers with only a few days left to finish their work. Dayton vetoed the bill during a visit to the Bruce Vento Elementary School in St. Paul, surrounded by young students. He counted to three and used the veto stamp as the kid shouted, "Veto!" Oh, this veto is for these children and their futures, Dayton said. The DFL governor has been telling Republicans he won't sign off on the tax bill unless they agree to a package of emergency aid for school districts struggling with budget problems. House Speaker Kurt Dowd called Dayton's veto a political ploy and a stunt. What the governor did today was veto a bill that would have put money in low and middle-income Minnesota's pockets, and I'm incredibly disappointed. They keep saying that. It only seems – how come all their tax bills, they keep promising it's going to go to middle and lower-income people, but it only goes to the wealthy people? I don't know. You Republicans, I don't think you guys know math. I mean, does anyone know math? Did they go to rural schools and then with the budget cuts out there? Maybe that's the problem. Dayton says his top priority is an additional $137.9 million to spread among all 553 school districts across the state. It includes 59 districts that are anticipating budgetary shortfalls. Teacher layoffs are going to be a draconian around the state if this funding doesn't go through. Dayton said Dowd said the school proposal came too late to be properly vetted. Well, you know, if you're you, Kurt, I got news for you, okay? You're not the governor. You're the Speaker of the House. You are the majority leader of one of the bodies of Congress. We don't bow down to you, you jerk. No, the governor doesn't, you know, have to report to you, Speaker. You want to pass a bill, you need his signature, right? Right? It would seem to me that if the governor says, hey, I need $138 million for school districts around the state, that this wouldn't be too difficult for you to go get. You're just choosing to act as if, and like, this is why I think that this bill was never intended to pass anyway, is because the way that Dowd is so quickly, I mean, you're clearly going to get enough tax breaks to offset this money. You still have a incredibly conservative weighted tax bill at your disposal. You could go in there, just throw $138 million in education funds at the governor, send him the same exact bill, be done with it, and off you go. But the reality is you're not that smart, or else this was your entire job the entire time. It's like you're going to try to argue tax cuts, tax cuts, tax cuts, but, you know, after all these years of you guys giving out tax cuts, I mean, remember, Pat Garofalo the other day talking about, Mosaic is moving out of state. Another big business moves out of Minnesota. It's like, well, considering how many tax breaks we give corporations in the state, then I guess that doesn't work. He didn't apparently like that so much. No, you guys, I don't think this was even your goal is to pass this tax bill. I think this was just to try to give you guys a campaign talking point. If it is, well, then the no-brainer thing to do would be to quickly add $138 million for education spending on the bill and throw it out there. Then again, you and Joyce Pepin, Kurt, might be frantically trying to sneak laws and rules into the bill and then try to do this at the last second. But, you know, it's not worked too well for you since the last time Governor Dayton shut off all the lights in the House because you basically line-item your budget. The other major news, lawmakers' plans to borrow hundreds of millions of dollars for a public works project suffered a severe but not yet fatal blow at the Capitol on Wednesday. The Senate failed to pass a Republican-sponsored $825 million bonding bill in a 34-33 party-line vote with only until midnight Sunday to pass the bill. Time is growing short to cutting a new deal for building projects before legislators go home for the year. If they don't get it done, it will mean deteriorating state buildings won't get repaired, cities won't get money to upgrade aging sewer and water systems, road and bridge construction will be delayed, and no new veterans' homes or mental health centers will get built, and hundreds of other projects will be left undone. In other words, they won't take care of the property they publicly own. Flexing their limited political muscle for the first time, the 33 members of the Senate Democratic Labor Party, minority party, united to defeat the GOP bonding bill. Here's once again. Did they ever – you guys know you need 41 votes. That would mean, once again, does the Republicans know math? I don't know if they know math. That means seven Democrats, seven, need to vote with you. Now, this is a bonding bill where every Republican has basically said, I'll have a chocolate vanilla swirl, and could you dip it and put some sprinkles on it, and I would love that. And then when the Democrat comes up to the line saying, well, I would like a one cup, you get no ice cream. And then they put the bill in front of the people, the Minnesota ice cream bill, and they say, why aren't you voting for us to get ice cream? Well, I don't get ice cream. I'm not getting ice cream. You get tons of ice cream. I don't get ice cream. But I'm supposed to vote for your ice cream while I get no ice cream? That's not how it works. All you need to do, apparently, is go to seven of these guys and say, what's the one project you want done in your district? Give us the one project. I want this highway upgraded. I want more spending for my teachers in my district. I want a new mental health center in my district. I want a new veterans hospital in my district. That's not that difficult, is it? But yet you guys didn't do that. And as a matter of fact, one of the things that should be noted is what the Republicans denied was that the Democrats wanted to spend more money on this bonding bill. They wanted to spend more money and get more things done. And the Republicans are saying no. And so what the Republicans are trying to do is say, we didn't talk with you on the front end. And so now we're going to accuse you of not working with us when we didn't want to work with you in the first place. And the reality is what you wanted to do was actually give more people more benefits. We're not going to even acknowledge that. I mean, is this really where the Republicans think they're going to win this whole thing? Really? Have I mentioned to you guys the soybean prices are plummeting in this country? I mean, any farmer that just planted soybeans, you might as well just let that, you might as well go plow your field back under, because the way things are going with China, your markets are going to be gone. And I don't mean for 1 or 2 years. I'm talking 10, 15 years. Maybe you can grow wheat. Maybe you can grow sugar beets. But when, you know, you're losing Canada and Mexico with NAFTA, you're losing China, you're going to lose most of Europe. Well, is this really where you think you're going to get the win? By saying that they didn't give us our bonding bill. We wanted the big ice cream sundae. They didn't want to give us the big ice cream sundae. We told them they couldn't have any ice cream, and so we took our toys and went home. Well, good luck with that. Have you seen Neuberger? Neuberger is your candidate against Klobuchar. We have an early call on election night 2018. Amy Klobuchar wins another term as U.S. Senator in Minnesota. Really? Wow. And by the way, I mean, Housley, she's burning. She does that blog thing where she says women don't need help. They don't need equal pay rules or, you know, protection from serial abusers or anything like that. They just need to be strong and independent. And that blows up in her face. And then she basically... We now find out she's most of the bills that she's written, although this is not illegal, it's highly unethical, have helped her business directly through as she's written these bills in the Senate. And now we find out, what, she's $10 million? Yeah. You're salt of the earth, Karen. Good luck. I have zero doubt either Tina Smith or Richard Painter are going to mop the floor with her. I'll pick any of the three Democrats running for governor over Johnson, easily over Pawlenty. See Pawlenty? See that story? He's not going to run for the endorsement. He's just going to run the primary.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's already seen the writing on the wall.
Yeah.
His hope is going to be basically to go out there and run as many ads as he can and just hope that he can change public impression. But I don't think he's going to be the nominee for the Republicans. I think he grossly underestimated how many Republicans remember how crappy he left this state. There you go. So there's your trifecta. Jim Neuberger, Karen Housley, and Tim Pawlenty, or Jeff Johnson. Which I guess, I mean, for Jeff Johnson, I guess I could do an imitation of a mime. That's like I'm not even here. programming brought to you by EatLocalMinnesota.com. Downtown or Woodfire Grill is the EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week. Fantastic American Bistro. Great wood-fired pizzas, great seafood as well. Stop on by 253 West 7th Street in St. Paul, downtown or Woodfire Grill. It is the EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week. We'll take a break, come back, and I get to absolutely light up our jackass-in-chief Trump for his animals comment. My God. It is the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
good day to be indigenous.
Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. Our weekly Native American talk radio show will discuss national and local Native American news and events. Local and national guests will help us keep current with Mother Earth, tribal, and Twin City issues. Native American issues are human issues. We invite all people to walk hand in hand with our struggles, victories, and achievements. Listen Saturdays at 2 p.m.
I am awake.
Hi, I'm Damian Strange, Executive Director of Northeast Minneapolis Arts Association, NEMA. And I'm personally inviting you to Arter World May 18th through the 20th. View artwork of over 650 artists in every medium at more than 50 locations throughout Northeast Minneapolis, including studio buildings, art galleries, homes, storefronts, and local businesses. The Artist Open Studio Tour may include demonstrations, mini workshops, installations, and special exhibitions. Studio tours offer a great opportunity to ask questions, discuss techniques, experience art firsthand, and purchase unique artwork directly from artists. Arter World gives you a unique opportunity to meet the artists who make our community so vibrant and invest in our art community by purchasing artwork that you connect with. For more information, go to NEMAA.org. That's NEMA.org. Looking forward to seeing you at Arter World.
It's home improvement season, and you know there's lots of projects to tackle. Here's one that won't break the budget. Get your air ducts cleaned by Zero Res. They need to be cleaned every 3 to 5 years to improve your furnace and your air quality. This month, save $50 when you get your air ducts Zero Resified. Plus, this month, get 3 rooms of carpet Zero Res clean, starting at $139. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMN.com. Zero Res. Spell it backward or forward. Spells the same.
Burger Mo's is the perfect neighborhood gathering spot before and after Excel Center events or anytime. Mo is serious about burgers, offering 20 fresh, never frozen varieties. Burger Mo's also offers delicious appetizers, soups, salads, as well as unburgers, dogs, paninis, shakes, and desserts. Not to mention more than 60 beers on tap and happy hours twice daily. Burger Mo's is located at 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul with plenty of free parking and online at burgermo's.com.
AM 950. Progressive voice of Minnesota. I love two stories. One's thanks to Lori, by the way. Lori actually bring up the point about Stearns County prosecutor. One, if, why don't they prosecute this person? Will the Lori Swanson, the attorney general, do it? Actually, I believe this, the House of Representatives will have some say in this because he admitted to this crime at a House hearing. So they can do an investigation. I'm not mistaken. They can do an investigation too. Lori also sent me that so far they've chimed in. Trump is the worst president of all time. 200 historical presidential historians have researched him, and he knocks Buchanan out of the last place. And it's not even close. Even the conservatives who voted for this on average placed him at 40. At 40. And that's the conservatives. Those are the ones on his side. Oh my God. He finishes way below. I mean, Buchanan, I want to remind everyone, Buchanan started with one country. And by the time he left office before Lincoln got in there, there were two. That's how bad Buchanan was. Harding was as corrupt as the day is long. William Henry Harrison died. Zachary Taylor was horrific. Franklin Pierce was god-awful. We had a trifecta. We had Taylor, Millard Fillmore, Franklin Pierce, Buchanan. That we'll never have anything that bad again. It's amazing. Also, the new report out, this is Fox News put this out, which I thought was kind of funny. More millennials would rather date a felon than a Trump supporter. And they put this out sort of like trying to shame the millennials. I think that you probably don't want to report that story because it really shows you how little most millennials think of people that vote for Donald Trump. But let's talk about the ugly. Yesterday, these aren't people, these are animals. This is Trump talking about immigrants. Now, I made this post earlier today. I said, Trump's not Hitler, but he sure likes cosplaying Hitler at times. Hitler's quote, Jews are not people, they are animals. Adolf Hitler. Donald Trump's quote, undocumented immigrants are not people, they are animals. Well, like I say, cosplaying. You do realize that there's no way on this planet you can say you're Christian and support this man. You do understand that. Let's run the gamut, shall we? Christians, evangelicals. Let's just put it out there. And once again, religious disclaimer. I'm Catholic. You do or don't do whatever it is you do or don't want to do. I'm Catholic, okay? And I've hated to see my religion dragged through the mud by these people who insisted Barack Obama, who kept showing up in Christian churches, was a secret Muslim, who was one of the most Christian human beings I've ever seen in my life. But they kept screaming he was a secret Muslim born again. He's horrible. Meanwhile, Trump, he mocked a disabled man. He bragged about sexually assaulting a married woman. He has had a heck of a lot of out-of-marriage sex. What he gladly seems to be paying off for. Michael Avenatti, Stormy Daniels' lawyer, says there's two more cases. They haven't vetted them completely, but they're looking like there are two more women that Trump paid off to keep from talking before the election. He said Nazis, the freaking Nazis, were good people. He said the KKK were good people. He might actually even have a baby out of wedlock with the maid at one building. We heard that story a few weeks back. And there seems to be more and more evidence pointing towards this Broidy payoff where he supposedly had an affair with the Playboy Playmate and she got pregnant. And so he paid her off to get the abortion. That actually might have been Trump's kid. That might have been Trump paying that off, paying off for an abortion. And now he's called millions of desperate human beings whose only crime is they live in a country where there's no opportunity, there's no food, that their lives are constantly under threat, that there's been natural disasters, and so there isn't necessarily a country anymore. And these people are wanting to come here and work the worst jobs we've got. Jobs that white people do not want to take. Scrubbing toilets and picking vegetables out in the desert sun. And they were willing to do it with a smile on their face at, frankly, probably below where they should be getting paid. And he called millions of desperate people animals. You can't claim you're Christian anymore. You can't. If you still support this man, I mean, if you are one of these people, and don't look at me about why are you bringing religious into it? Because you brought religion into this for the last 30 freaking years. You guys started this. For 30 years, you've been backing up a political party that is the antithesis of Christianity. They hate the hungry, they hate the needy, they hate the sick, they hate the homeless, and they hate the immigrants. And now you're in bed with one of the greatest evils I have ever seen. And yet you still drape yourselves in this idea that this is evangelical. It's not. You've lost. Everything about you is a fake. It's a fraud. Give it up. This is disgusting, and I want this man gone from office immediately. This is beneath this country, having that man as the president. Mike's up next. Till tomorrow. See ya.